Welcome to Food Joy Club. Now this time, we've got no food for you, but we have holiday stories, we have holiday traditions, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, or something else, or even if this time of year wasn't really a normal time to celebrate anything, just sort of how people, mostly in the U.S., sort of enjoy the holiday. So with that, I reached out to the Food Joy community and said, hey, I'd love to hear from you. What kind of stories do you have? What do you want to share? What did you enjoy as a family? And even some came in with some really moving stories about how Christmas was not a happy time for them due to things happening at home with the family, and how they came to it later as an adult by turning Christmas into something that meant something to them. They made their own traditions. They found and created their own family, and in a way, they sort of turned the story on its head and gave it a happy ending, making, say, Christmas or just the holidays in general a meaningful and positive time of year for them. Some of those stories are quite personal, and so I may not share them, but I did want to give a shout out to those who really opened up their hearts and shared those sort of, you know, deep and sometimes difficult stories. So thank you so much, and thank you to everyone else who sent in a little bit about their traditions, definitely all over the map, which I love. As much as there are some traditional things that I know I'll be sort of talking about or reading off, it's really great to hear all the small and different things people do. So with that, I just sort of wrote them up, collected them all, put them in a single place, and I'll be reading off pretty much verbatim what most people sent me. And we'll see where it goes from there. Some of these stories are a bit shorter. Some, they really go in and sort of invite me into their traditions and their family, which was really great. So more than anything, just really appreciated all the things that people shared with me, and I hope to share with all of you. So without further ado, I'd love to share some of the traditions that I learned about. So this one comes from Jacob, and he said, for Thanksgiving, my parents have hosted the meal for as long as I can remember. They live on Long Island, so I take the train out there and spend a few days with them for the long weekend. Every year, my mom takes the lead in preparing the meal. It's often a struggle to get her to delegate the prep work across the family, so I often find myself pestering her until she gives me something to do to help. I can definitely say this is something that happened in my family as well. Sometimes my mom, I think, was like, look, I know what I'm doing. You kids have no idea what you're doing. It's literally less work if I do it myself. But still, we felt bad and, you know, tried to help anyway. Sometimes she would just say, here, tear up this bread to make the stuffing. Very basic task, something, you know, us at 8 or 10 years old definitely could handle. And if we didn't do a good job, it wasn't going to do that much damage. So definitely know that story well. For the December holidays, my family observes Hanukkah and is part of our Jewish heritage. Because it's less important as a Jewish holiday, we usually just get together to light the candles, cook some potato latkes, and exchange gifts. A very small gathering of me, my younger sibling, and our parents. That sounds really nice. So my father being Jewish, we would, you know, celebrate Hanukkah. And as you said, it's not a high holy holiday. There's others for that. But it is one that a lot of folks know simply because it's around the same time of year as Christmas. And so it gets some recognition, which is nice in its own way. Yeah, we would definitely have latkes. I am a sour cream over applesauce guy. I do want to know, because it's controversial sometimes, everyone has a take. Do you want your latkes something sweet or something sort of savory or light? I'm definitely in the latter camp. But, you know, my grandparents would come over, we'd go to them, we'd have a nice sort of family dinner, we'd have some traditional dishes as well. And it was really, really nice, really warm time of year, and nice to be able to get together. And of course, as a kid, loved getting the gifts. Also in December, we have a tradition of celebrating Christmas with some close family friends my mom grew up with. Every year, we go over to one of their houses for a Christmas dinner and celebration. Part of the tradition is they'll tell us it's starting around 3 p.m., only for them to call up my mom at 2:30 to say it's been delayed to 6 p.m. My dad and I call it the O'Brien time coefficient. So I'm assuming that is the last name of the family in question. I do like, it sounds like a little Star Trek-y to me, so I do appreciate it. I can't say I've ever experienced something quite like this. But if you know it's going to happen, it itself becomes tradition. I think it's kind of fun. So thanks a lot, Jacob. Really appreciate you sharing your different holiday traditions for different holidays and given the cultural and ethnic background for you. The next one comes from Igor. He kept it simple, but he sent the cutest photo of him and his young son with Santa Claus. Unfortunately, I don't have it here to share, but I always appreciate those as well. Just really, really warm. So he says, I grew up celebrating Christmas on the 24th. I usually have an evening party with family and friends. Aside from the usual food, drinks, and music, we always nominate someone from our family to dress up as Santa and be the one that distributes gifts for everyone. This just sounds like a great sort of little family tradition, definitely with like extended friends and family. I would love to be there. This sounds grand, particularly if you're a kid, right? You've got all these different people. You've got someone dressed up as Santa. You've got gifts. You've got, you know, lots of food. I mean, what's not to like? So the next one comes from Rakesh. It says, hi, Michael. My parents and I never really were big on the holidays because, I think he means like Christmas, because they are from India and of Hindu faith. We celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas as children, but it wasn't a big deal. Coming from a family that has a lot of vegetarians, we did make lasagna for these holidays, though. And I remember him sharing some of the sort of vegetarian recipes that they did. And I love hearing stories like this because sort of trying to navigate incorporating sort of the traditions that people come with to a new place and bringing those together. I think it's always interesting to see how that works out. I know with my family, it was the same. And there's so many stories out there where it's like, hey, Christmas was, you know, in particular, was not really a holiday for us. But it being in the U.S. where it's a big deal, whether it's culturally or religious, you know, we sort of made it our own or celebrated in our own way to enjoy the holidays as other people do as well. So thanks a lot. So this one comes from Alex, and I had read this early, and I did love it. It's great. So my family is pretty spread out, so we don't have consistent conventional holiday traditions. However, for the last few years, my parents have thrown a very merry and gay Christmas. So you've already got me here. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. They have over all their elder LGBTQ+ friends for a fun celebration, and I usually bring on a couple of my queer friends that don't have family to celebrate with. It's always such a blast. Last year's turned into a slumber party with a boozy brunch after. Honestly, what's not to love? This sounds great. I mean, talk about being inclusive, bringing people in, whether it's different backgrounds or, you know, friends who, particularly in a place like New York City, a lot of folks are from somewhere else. They don't have family locally. Maybe they can't make it back home. This is just such a warm way to bring people in and celebrate something lovely together. So thanks so much, Alex, for this one. So the next one comes from Sajad G. Growing up, we did not celebrate Christmas holidays since I don't come from a Christian background. All I remember is sometimes the national TV would show the Home Alone movie or on snowy nights. However, we do celebrate Yalda. I hope I'm saying that right, by the way. Apologies in advance, and do feel free to correct me in the comments. Which happens around the same time as Christmas, which is a secular holiday for the longest night of the year, which actually many say could be the origin of Christmas story, since Yalda itself means the birth. But in the context of our holiday, it is the birth of light, meaning the triumph of light over darkness and the turning point of time when the daylight starts becoming longer than nighttime, and used to be celebrated across the Middle East and Europe in ancient times. So Sajad, as I know, comes from Iran. And so I think this is a great story. A lot of, and frankly, I'm almost a little sad you didn't talk about some of the food because Iranian food's amazing. As anyone knows, any good holiday worth its salt has good food. No doubt this does as well. Thanks a lot for sharing this. We also received another story from Amanda, also of Iranian background, and also talked about this holiday. And it reminds me of so many friends I have, let's say, for example, like in Northern Europe, so Sweden or Latvia, whether or not that's Northern, is up for debate. But, you know, Christianity coming a bit later to these places, they retained a lot of these sort of traditional holidays around the solstices, whether it's sort of the summer solstice or the winter solstice, and some of the celebrations, which obviously involve all sorts of outdoor activities, good food, being with friends and family. I mean, they're just wonderful ways to spend time with people. All right. So the next one comes from Rima, and already off to a good start. Pancakes Christmas morning. All right, you've got me. I enjoy this. You can't go wrong. I appreciate a good pancake. Putting on 96.1 The River, radio station that plays Christmas songs, to open gifts. Giving the dog scraps from the Christmas dinner. Although maybe not the last one. Don't want to encourage people who don't know what to give their pets to give human food. That said, Rima, to be honest, we all do this. I know cats are lactose intolerant, but I also know that one of mine really loves dairy. So I will let her eat a little bit of butter or cream or something like that because I know it brings her joy. It's probably not going to do that much harm. So I think it's okay. This sounds like a delightful start of any Christmas day. I mean, you start off with a good set of carbs, Christmas music, gifts, family. What's not to love? So the next one comes with Christine, a little more straightforward. I don't know if any of mine are that unique. And for what it's worth, Christine, that's okay. You know, a lot of traditions are shared, and that's something that we all get to enjoy together. So I appreciate something that, you know, we can all connect with. It's mostly just watching the niece and nephew open Christmas presents and ordering an Asian food. Honestly, that is a solid tradition, and definitely one that I have done myself. Oftentimes it's Chinese food, because as everyone knows, and definitely, you know, with some of my Jewish background, that's what's open. And it's tasty, and why not, right? And obviously there's probably some other types of food out there as well, but this sounds like a great way. And, you know, seeing the joy on little kids' faces, they open those gifts, I think is a gift unto itself. So that sounds great. So this one comes from Phil. I'm not including it here, but he did have a prelude. Basically, I had put in a deadline to get all these in. He's like, I swear I made it. He sort of did. And it was he made it before recording, so that was good enough for me. But more than anything, I just really appreciate the story. So when I was a child, we would often have Christmas at my aunt's house, since she had the biggest house, and they went full Anglo-Saxon Christmas. The halls were indeed decked with boughs of holly, giant Christmas tree, giant was capitalized here, stockings, decorations, and giant Christmas feast. All right, it sounds like it's straight out of a Christmas carol. But the part I remember most was the present opening time. It's pretty standard for any kid. I had only had one uncle and one aunt. My uncle never listened to my present suggestions, and I would always get some intellectual puzzle toy or whatever, and my aunt likewise would be like, no, you have too many toys, and it would only get me clothes. Yeah, this is like when I would get, say, underwear and socks for Christmas. It's like, yeah, this is practical, but like, I wanted something else. Like, it didn't matter what, but I was just like, this was not what I had in mind. So I think it's a pretty typical kid reaction to this sort of thing. And a lot of adults do this. I try when I give gifts, I'm like, I want something they'll enjoy more than anything, because I feel like that's the most important thing. All right. Since this was my aunt's place, her other side of the family was also there, and they had a huge extended family, which means a whole ton of gifts for my aunt's son, my cousin. So opening present time on Christmas was just watching my cousin open all these gifts under the tree of all these crazy-ass toys that I could only dream about. And me being there as a kid, being like, oh, this sucks, LOL. And that was the Christmas miracle. Well, this Christmas story was a bit of a doozy. I appreciate the narrative. Definitely, I think the closest I can get is because I'm much older than my youngest brother, watching him open gifts as basically like a young adult and being like, all right, I guess my time has passed, but like, you know, half the gifts under the tree were for him alone. So I kind of know how that feels in that way. But thanks a lot for sharing that. I appreciate the story. And I imagine you're probably not the only one out there who's had something like that. So the next one comes from Magdalena. And this is a great one, too, because it's a different cultural background, a little different, and really tells a great story. So my family celebrates traditional Polish Christmas Eve on the 24th. So we get double the celebrating. Super starts when it's dark. Oh, I guess that's what you call it. Oh, supper. Sorry. Reading's hard sometimes. Technically, when you can see the first star in the sky, it starts with everybody exchanging good wishes, hugs, and breaking wafers with each other. Each wafer has a Christmas scene stamped onto it, and a packet usually contains a bonus colorful one among the regular white ones. That one you can save for your pet. It's said that at midnight, animals will speak with a human voice, though I've never caught my cat saying anything. Yeah, I haven't heard my cats using sort of words per se, but they're definitely saying stuff. I do wonder if the cookies have something to do with it. It's technically considered a day of fasting. All right, I don't know if that's how Christmas ought to work, but I'll read on. And the food reflects that. No meat, no dairy, no alcohol, just fish. Traditional herring and carp. Sauerkraut, mushrooms, and many combinations, and compote made from dried fruits. There's borscht with ears, tortellinis with mushrooms inside. Oh, that's kind of cute. Lots of pierogies. Who doesn't like a good pierogi? With sauerkraut and mushrooms. Bigos, which is sauerkraut with mushroom. Noticing a pattern here. Salted herring, carp with carrots, carp and savory jello. All right, I wanna pause here. Carp and savory jello. All right, how do we feel about this? I will say I'm skeptical. I might try it, but I think I've seen recipes like this from like the 50s, and I don't know. But I would try it for science. Let me know if this is something you've made or had or you'd be curious about or what you think about it in the comments. Would love to know. There's also rice with raisins. Oh, that's delicious. And poppy seeds. Altogether, 12 dishes at least, and you must try a bite of each, as however many dishes you have a taste of is how many months next year you will have good luck. Checks out. There's always a bonus empty table sitting at supper for a wandering stranger or unexpected guest, as no one should be alone for Christmas. After supper, Santa comes, and there are presents. Well, that sounds nice. Honestly, you say it's a day of fasting, but aside of some of the things you can't have, it sounds like it's pretty generous on the food front. Definitely some cool stuff that I'd be curious to try and a little different. Well, thank you so much, Magdalena. I appreciate you sharing your holiday traditions. Now we come to a great one that I received from Vicky. I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago, and even though I now live in New York, Christmas still feels Trini at the core for me. It's never just one day on the calendar. It turns into a whole season of getting the house in order, cooking plenty of food, playing music, and sharing time with family, neighbors, and friends. On the island, the lead up to Christmas really begins about 100 days before December 25th. All right, I definitely recognize this story just from being out in Asia, having a ton of Filipino friends. Christmas is huge there, and some people joke that it starts in September. So far, so familiar. As that time comes in, families start to fix up the place, doing little repairs, repainting, and changing out curtains and bedding in the bedrooms, kitchen, living room, and dining room. We'd go to the fabric store, pick up material, and sew our own curtains and sheet sets to everything, so everything feels new and full of love. During the countdown, radio stations like Sweet 100.1 FM set the tone, with parang, soca parang, and traditional Christmas music on heavy rotation, so the whole country feels like it's easing into Christmas long before the big day. Well, starting 100 days beforehand, there's plenty of time to ease into it, that's for sure. The food and the music are a big part of what makes it feel like a Trini Christmas. Parang and soca parang play softly in the background or blast from a speaker while the kitchen becomes the busiest room in the house. There's a proper baked ham made from a pork leg or shoulder, chow chow, pasteles, I'm probably saying it wrong, sorry everyone, do correct me, gira chicken, gira pork, and classic Trini Christmas drinks like sorrel, ginger beer, and ponche de creme. That sounds great. Black cake is almost non-negotiable, made with mixed fruits that have been soaking in wine or rum for months. Oh, okay. I've had stuff like this where it's like, you call it like a Christmas pudding or just so many stuff where it's basically, in my experience, like some sort of denser cake thing with like dried fruits and nuts and such. But the consistent thing across them is, and then across all of them is that you then soak it in booze. And I believe this is the key ingredient in what they call being made with love. So totally get that this is requisite. So yeah, it's made with mixed fruits that have been soaking in wine rum for months and then baked into a dense, dark, fragrant cake for the season. Spot on. One of the things that makes the day itself so special is the early morning paronging, when family and friends move from house to house. In the area where I grew up, my grandparents' home was known as the starter house. From around 4 a.m., neighbors would start to roll in, share a drink, and cut into the slow-cooked ham with chow chow, pasteles, gira chicken, gira pork, and whatever else was on the table. And then after a little while, the whole group would head off to the next home. At every stop, the crowd gets a bit bigger. The music gets sweeter and the laughter gets louder. I'm sure the booze helps. The elders who stay back keep the pots going, seasoning and roasting meats, putting ham and turkey in the oven, making macaroni pie. Curious. I'd love to see like a photo of this and get an idea. Right now, I'm just thinking macaroni and pie shape form. which I would definitely try. Rice dishes, stew or roast chicken, potato salad, kalalu or other greens, sweetbread and more. So all that by midday is a full Trini Christmas spread ready when everybody eventually drifts back home. Even now, when a house smells like ham and homemade bread, parang or carols are playing, elders are gathered in the kitchen, talking and laughing, and family is checking in from near and far, it immediately feels like Christmas in Trinidad again. Those island traditions, early morning visits, big pots on the fire, music in the background, and plenty of love still shape what the holiday means to me today. Happy Christmas, Vicky L. Well, happy Christmas to you too, Vicky. I really appreciate you sharing this story. I think this just sounds amazing. Just the way it's not just family and friends, but it's sort of everyone you know in the neighborhood or maybe the village or town you live in. I think this is a wonderful tradition, and I really appreciate you sharing it. And for all of you who have your own traditions, whether it's different from this or something similar, I'd love if you chime in. Share yours in the comments or write in to us. You can write to via email, michael@foodjoyclub.com. You can do it in any of our DMs on socials, YouTube, you name it. And we'll be happy to share those and just sort of get a sense of all the ways in which people enjoy different holidays during this time of year. And with that, I wish everyone a very happy holiday season and a wonderful new year.
The Food Joy Club podcast is brought to you by Joy Club Media, hosted by Michael Mercel Barg, produced and edited by Celine Williams. Music is Moonlight Drive by Junior Arante from bensound.com. For more episodes of the Food Joy Club podcast, check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and more. To support the show, leave us a review or follow us on social media.